I want to introduce Landon. This is Landon Green. Come on, sit over here on my left here. Once you're in the center there, okay?
Okay.
Sometime last year, Landon began to talk to me and say that he had a sense that God was calling him to ministry. And I can identify with that. I believe the Lord called me to ministry when I was 9 years old on a Wednesday night at Watertower Baptist Church, and that's never been a doubt in my mind that he did that. And then when I was 15, at River Gardens Baptist Church, that call was refined to the preaching and teaching ministry. And I started preaching when I was 15. Now, Landon's 14. He's got me beat. He's going to turn 15 in what?
April.
Well, this is April.
What the day? 28th. Yeah.
28th, okay. In a couple weeks. In 2 weeks, I guess. And so I told Landon that I wanted to give him an opportunity because you learn to preach by preaching. I was blessed at our church that we had a nursing home ministry on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And so me and another preacher boy and a couple girls from the church, we started going with Bill Owen. He was kind of leading that ministry, and he liked to preach too, but he'd give us a chance to preach, so we'd preach. And if you didn't preach, you led the music, and the girls would play the piano, and it was a great way to cut your teeth on preaching each Sunday in the nursing home. And so I told Landon I want to give him an opportunity to preach. Now, one thing, don't get used to this. Okay. I tell people you got to die before I'll put a tie back on, but and there's no guarantee on that either. But I want to pray for Landon right now, and you pray with me. And others have already prayed for him and laid hands on him. And what I've tried to emphasize to Landon, it's all about the Word of God and about Jesus. We're just mouthpieces. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And I've told my youngest son, he's in the ministry, I've tried to encourage him that. I've told Landon the most important thing he can do is to learn the Word of God. And so I keep encouraging him there. You encourage him there. And pray, and it's the Holy Spirit that moves through us and touches our heart. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for Landon, and I thank you, Father, for his sensitivity to your Spirit and his desire, Father, to honor you with his life, and Father, to a call that only you can give, Father. But Father, you give us all a calling. We all have a calling. You've gifted all of us, Father, in certain ways to live for Jesus and to be light and salt in this world. And so, Father, I ask your blessing upon Landon this morning, and pray for your Holy Spirit to take your word through him and touch our hearts. And, Father, for those who might not know Jesus, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit opens their heart to their need to put their faith in Jesus Christ. And, Father, we that know Jesus, Father, may we be encouraged, and may we have a fresh desire, Father, to be obedient and to walk in newness of life and to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Father, bless Landon as he proclaims your word. The authority is in your word and not in us. So, Father, bless him this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, first I'm going to read back through Hebrews verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers in the heavenly calling, considering apostle of high priest in our confections, Jesus Christ, who is faithful to him, appointed to him, and Moses was also faithful in all of his house. For this has been one counted worthy, many than one more counted worthy and glory more than Moses. Inasmuch he who has built a house in honor in the house. For every house is built, someone built all these things in God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all of his house as a servant. For the testimony of my things, which I have spoken afterwards, Christ is the Son over his own house, whose house we are hold steadfast to the confidence of rejoicing till the end. Moses, as being a grateful servant, no matter how good he was, no matter how many things he did, he can never be as good as Jesus. Jesus didn't only lead a perfect life, but he was the Son of God, and he is the foundation of the house which we worship on today. And that point is also in his word. We get through heaven from believing in him, but he was also living in the word. I like to say he was a living embodiment of God and Word. God sent him and used him to manifest his Word. And in verses 12, Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, "For God is the for the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even through the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intents of our heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him." Just like Jonah and the whale, Jonah could have hidden anywhere. God would have found him. There's nowhere he could have been, possibly ever, that God would not have known where he was at. And he came to a realization in the belly of a fish that, hey, I need to do this for God. This is what I'm sent to do. And we do that in our own lives. Sometimes we run from God. And, you know, no matter where we go, no matter if we're in darkness or in light, God will always know where we are. He's like the light in our darkness. I'm going to read from verses 1 and chapter 4 all the way till verse 13. "Therefore, since a promise remains entering his rest, let us fear, and he have seemed to come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we have believed that they did not enter his rest, because God said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, he has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day in all of his works. And then in this place he said again, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains, some must enter it. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter it because of disobedience. Again, he designates in a certain day, saying, David, today, such is a long time it has been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, they would not speak of an afterward spoken to another day." Speaking of another day, Joshua leading the people into the promised land was foreshadowing Jesus leading us into heaven. That's the other day that they're talking about in this passage. The other day is us following in faith of Jesus. "Let us therefore be diligent and enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to it in the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even through the division of soul and spirit, joints of marrow, and discerning the thoughts of the heart. There were no creatures hidden in his sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him in whom we must all give account." His rest is a promise. A promise to those who have faith. If you don't have faith, you don't get his rest. And that's a very scary, to me, it's a very scary reality that the creator of everything is trying to give us rest, and some people just ignore it. The rest is a promise that remains. It says, "Let us fear any who seem to have come short of it." Let us, you know, there was a buddy at school of mine who, he used to do a whole bunch of bad things all the time, and I kept telling him that's not good. I told him that he was going to get punished by God for it, and he told me he didn't believe in God. And after about 2 or 3 months of me preaching continuously, he ended up asking me if I could help him with his problems and help him with talking to God. And he now actually goes to a church down in Pacific, and he's a very, very good in his Bible and study, and I've been keeping track with him on Messenger. And we talk every now and then, and he's doing better now, but it's people that harden their hearts. They don't get that. They don't get that sense of peace, that sense of love that we all get, because their ignorance gets in the way of that. They harden their hearts. They don't think. And as Christians, we can also contribute to the hardness of hearts. That's why usually when I'm talking to someone about God, I'm not just always on them, because they can push that away by just hearing it all the time. They're, you know, it's annoying to them. They haven't grown up with it like some of us have. So them hearing it is like nails on a chalkboard sometimes. And just like the Pharisees and all the people when Jesus was preaching, sometimes they don't want to change their life because they don't want to live a godly life. They want to stay stuck in their sin, and they don't want to change it because they think it's benefiting them. And that's what I think this is talking about, is he promises us rest, but only if we have faith in Jesus. We have to have that faith, and we have to have a point to be able to worship and do all these different things, and we have to show our gratitude. I hear a bunch of megachurch pastors talking about how Jesus owes us something. Get what you want from Jesus. Jesus doesn't owe us anything. He gave us life. He gave us all of this. And if we're faithful in him, he gives us an eternity in paradise. As I touched up on before, Jesus is the living embodiment of Word and God. In Genesis, it said, in the beginning, the Word was with God. And something me and James actually talked about last night is we talked about how through God speaking his Word, he's speaking through Jesus. And everything that's happening in the Bible, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is there. He's always been there. He's always been alongside God. And he is the living embodiment of Word and God. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, God at various times, in various ways, spoke through the past of fathers by prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken through us by his Son. He whom appointed the heir of all things, through whom all things he made worlds, who being in brightness of his glory and expressing image in his person, and unholding things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. I specifically think this verse is talking about Jesus. He died on the cross. He purged us free of our sins. We're clothed in his majesty. And it says he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. And going back to Genesis, he was with God. He was the Word. He's always been there. Right below that, in verse 5, it said, for to whom which angels did he ever say, you are my Son, today I have begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father, and he said to me a son. But when he brings things first born into the world, he says, let the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he says, who makes his spirits and ministers a flame to fire. The Pharisees, in general, most of them live pretty sinful lives. They skim stuff off of people, just like tax collectors, you know, taking a little bit for themselves. Most of them live lives of sexual immorality. And when Jesus came and he's like, I am, you're going to listen to my word. This is what I'm preaching. This is the right way. They thought to themselves, why give up our life when we could do whatever we want? Hey, this guy's not the Messiah. He's leading you down a false hole. He actually was, people tried to stone him when he was preaching. All of the miracles that he did, there was always that one guy in back saying, okay, you did this, do this. It didn't matter how much he did. People were always going to look at him and be like, oh, he's just the son of a carpenter. He's not nothing. And, you know, I bet when he rose from the grave, they didn't think, oh, he's just the son of a carpenter. They're like, oh my gosh, how did this happen? And that just goes to show, you know, how much God he gives us. He gives us words, and he gives us feelings, and he gives us things, just like me being up here today. He gave me the feeling to do this. And, you know, most people don't listen to that. Just like Jonah, again, he didn't want to listen to it. He tried to run from it. And like I've heard said many times, if God wants his glory out of you, he'll squeeze it. He'll squeeze it straight out of you. And it's inevitable. You can't run from it. You can't run from what he wants you to do. And all creatures, they're not hidden from his sight. They're all naked and open to the eyes of him, in whom we all must give account. On judgment day, no matter if you are a son of God, or you're a child, and or if you've lived a sinful life and you have not yet reached God, we all will give account. Every single one of our knees will bow, every single one of our tongues will confess, and that's going to be a great day of pain for those who disobeyed God and who did not believe in God. They're going to wish that boulders would fall and crush them, and they're going to wish that it would all just end, but it's not going to end. What we do in this life will stick with us forever, in life and in death. I've been told by my brother Ryan that I have great power at this age to do whatever I want with my life. Anything I could do could alter my life for the rest of my days. If I did something bad, it would always be remembered. If I did something good, it would help me with the rest of my life. If I did really good in school, it would help me with the rest of my life. It would help me set me up and do a bunch of things. And we have the power, you know. God controls our lives, but we have the power to choose. He gives us the choice. He says, either enter my rest and live in my rest, or do your own thing. You know, you can do your own thing, but you're set aside for me. I am no longer with you once you decide to disobey me. We can repent of our sins as Christians, but it doesn't mean that they're not still there. We still did them. But we are clothed in Jesus' majesty. We're clothed in his blood. And once we die and we're sitting in front of God, and God's judging us, Jesus will be like, that one's mine. He's clothed in my majesty. He believed in me. He trusted in me. And he had faith his whole entire life. I mean, Moses as a servant, he did great things. He was not able to enter the promised land because he disobeyed what God told him to do. When he was leading the people through the deserts and through vast wastelands, they said to him, Moses, why have you brought us here for us to die? And he went to God. And God said, strike this one time with your staff, and water will flow abundantly. He struck it two times, and that's why he wasn't able to enter the promised land. It's the disobedience, especially in our lives. We're disobedient. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to enter heaven, but it does mean that we will be judged by it. Being disobedient doesn't just mean that you get off with it. Just like in this world, actions have consequences. But Jesus took our consequences and he made them his own. And he beat death. And he resurrected. And he showed everybody what faith can do. He was sitting on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. We don't know what we do. What we do, but we don't know what it's going to cause, especially people in ignorance of their own lives. They just don't care. You can live in ignorance of your whole entire life and you could still have a great life. But as soon as you sit in front of God and he starts judging you and Jesus says, "Depart from me, for I never knew you," it's sad.
Amen.
You're not going to be doing your own thing then. You know, you're going to be burning for eternity. There's no way to escape it. There's no more after that. We can always turn to God except for then. We always have that choice except for then. When we're sitting in front of God and we're like, "Oh yeah, you're real. I believe in you now." Well, too late.
Amen.
You want to live your life how you want to live your life. I gave it to you to be mine. It says in the Bible, it says, we must take up our own crosses just as Jesus took up his. And I feel like that means we should devote our lives in any way that we can to God. We should worship him, we should praise him, we should spread his word. And we should also live his word just as Jesus did. We might struggle and fall down sometimes, but what matters is that we get back up and we keep trying. We repent of our sins, and we just keep going. Because it doesn't matter how many times you fall down, it matters how many times you can get back up, and you have that drive and that determination to keep going. And, I mean, really, that's what Jesus had. Jesus had that drive and determination. I bet his man half of him was scared at sometimes to go do things that he did. You know, he had to carry that big cross. He got lashed and whipped and all these different things. And still, he gave up his life. Nobody took it from him. He gave it up.
Amen.
He chose to die on the cross. He chose to live that out. And that's what we must do. We must devote our lives. We must carry up our own crosses. That's all I got. I can't think of anything else.
That's one of the challenges when you start preaching is how to bring to a conclusion. And I was actually thinking that before you said that's all I got. Bless you, Landon. And the most important thing, again, is just stay in the Word. You get the Word in you. Jesus said, "Abide in my Word and let my Word abide in you." And that's how our lives are transformed. That's why we preach the books of the Bible. God said in Jeremiah, his Word is like a hammer. It's able to break a hard heart. That's why we preach the gospel. Sometimes it falls on the wayside and Satan snatches it up, or it falls upon the hard pan path. And it kind of appears to have life, but there's no depth of root. Sometimes it falls in the thorny ground where there's no ability to gain life, but then it falls on good soil. So when we preach, when we teach, when we proclaim the gospel, when you witness, our prayer is that God has prepared that heart for good soil. Because Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, at the end of the chapter, that we're saved by the living word of God. And it's the word penetrating our heart. So God bless you, Landon, and just keep studying, keep in the word, keep praying. And don't pray for me to get sick so you can preach, okay? That was a joke when I was his age. We'd pray for our priest to get sick so we could preach for him. And so he'll preach again, and I'm going to encourage him and try to mentor Landon that he can grow up to be the man God wants him to be. Let's have a word of prayer. We're going to sing a song before we depart too. Father, again, thank you, Father, for your calling in our life. Thank you, Father, for drawing Landon to you, Father, in salvation, but also, Father, in helping him understand how he can live for you and be a witness and light and salt in this world. Father, he's an encouragement to all of us who've been on a journey for a long time. Sometimes we lose the freshness of that journey. So, Father, help us to have the same freshness and desire to walk in your spirit, to walk in obedience. That, Father, we want Jesus to be exalted in our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.